This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a special Tuesday, the start of the Major League Baseball playoffs. And we'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
I love baseball.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
Don and Peter with you until 7. And then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
So underrated.
It's a great moment in the history of the show. So, maybe the biggest story in sports today. The Tennessee Titans facilities being shut down until Saturday, according to our own Diana Rossini. Congratulations, got married over the weekend as well.
Yeah, how about that?
Multiple COVID-19 tests have done in the Titans facility. They announced that they were halting in-person workouts earlier today. Quote, out of the abundance of caution, the organization has decided to work remotely today as we follow NFL protocols related to the COVID-19 virus. This is from a Titans statement. Several tests have come back positive, and we're working through the process of confirming them. We'll have more info tomorrow. A league source confirmed that 3 new players and 5 new staff members have also tested positive for COVID-19. The Titans already had 1 player in protocol Saturday, and as Shane Bowen, who's the player in question, didn't go with the team to Minnesota. So we shall see. No decision made yet on the status of the Steelers-Titans over the weekend. But here's Marcus Spears on NFL Live talking about how no access to the team facility would have an impact on the Titans.
You can't prepare for a game. The preparation is literally at the facility. Like, we can do virtual meetings. Us three can sit here and virtually prepare for something that you physically have to do, but you are not physically ready. That's the part that, look, football is a mental game for sure, and you need to have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. But the physical nature of the game as well, during a week of practice in the NFL, you lift weights, you rehab, you have physical looks at what the teams are doing, you have preparation, you go through a lot of scenarios, 2-minute drill, 4-minute drill, you prepare for things that's odd about what the team does you play against. You cannot simulate that any other way than being on the practice field and prepping for what they're doing.
I agree with him. I was surprised that Steve Young said, you know, the Titans are really good and they'll be able to get through it. Maybe a good team can get through it better. But you can't tell me that they're not at a distinct disadvantage to have just one practice. How about the physical aspect of it? A lot of these guys don't have weights in their house, so then I'd be able to do the physical stuff to get ready. Forget about the mental preparation.
Yeah. Now, he compared it to a Thursday game. So let's say you're Denver, right? Because, again, I don't know how this is a Thursday night game, Peter. When do you remember a Thursday night game where there's that much travel for the road team? So the Broncos are basically going to have to spend, maybe they get a walkthrough Wednesday morning, but they'll probably have their entire Wednesday be travel. So Monday was probably quickly checking film from the previous game, maybe a little workout, and then they had one practice. So that's what Steve is saying is that the Broncos will have one practice preparing for the Jets. The Titans will not have to travel, so they'll just have a really hard practice on Saturday, play on Sunday. So is it any different than what the Broncos are going through on Sunday, on Thursday? Probably not.
I hear what you're saying.
It's different because you're not in the facility. I mean, you heard when we talked to Sam, you know, they were looking at things on Monday, and I'm sure that the Broncos were too. So the Titans are not in their facility. They're not able to have hands-on coaching.
I would like to see from RJ Bell on Thursday how much this affects the line.
Well, that line's out of whack anyway. Peter, we were talking about it the other day, yesterday when you weren't here. How are the Broncos favored? I mean, do the Jets have that little respect? The Broncos are playing without they're playing with the third string quarterback related to Mark Rippon, and they're playing at MetLife Stadium, and they're still a 3-point favorite over the Jets.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But what I'm talking about is the Tennessee-Pittsburgh line. Like, how will that line be affected? I didn't see what it was before the outbreak, but if they got a play on Sunday, I would think that that's going to give tons of points in Pittsburgh's way, right? I mean, I would have to.
You'd certainly think so. In keeping it with COVID-19, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame's coach, appears to have figured out where the outbreak came from. He thinks it came from a pregame meal. The team is resuming practice tomorrow after reporting 18 positive COVID tests on Monday. But the program that will change the way it eats pregame meals and will now have rapid antigen tests available on the sideline. I still don't understand how they're turning around having practice tomorrow. But
I don't either. I don't get it.
Because it's not – this is all just eyewash. They're playing. They don't care how many guys get affected. They're playing. They already had a game postponed. They don't want to have another game postponed.
So basically the 18 kids who tested positive are out.
They're out.
And now they hope no one else tests positive.
But Peter, think about what happened. They think they narrowed down to two incidents of the pregame meal and a player vomiting on the sidelines, which tells me that there were infected players in the game.
Correct.
Yep.
How does that happen? Now,
maybe they didn't test positive. I don't think no one would take the chance to put players out there that tested positive.
So there were all false positives? The one guy that happened to throw up and the people in the meeting, they got a false negative, I guess, is the way it worked? Or
don't know.
Was it one of those cases where they tested him on Thursday, or they tested him on Wednesday, it was negative. They tested him on Friday, didn't get the result back, and instead of waiting for the result, they threw him on the field anyway. What do you think happened? You cannot tell me that they have the best interest of the players in mind.
They're going to have a lot of lawsuits then.
Well, you have players infected playing in the game, and there doesn't seem to be any intention on not playing the next game. But well, I thought they were safer there than in general Gen Pop.
We dropped the
Gen Pop. I don't know if you heard that, Peter.
I heard the Gen Pop.
Yeah.
We are almost 75% through a very busy day of Major League Baseball. Astros 4-1 winners over the Twins.
Twins have lost 17 straight playoff games, by the way.
Wow. And that's staggering. Staggering. Imagine how much that's in your head now. Baseball of all sports. Maybe baseball and hockey, but really baseball. You can feel the mental sort of stress of stats like that, Michael, when you're watching a playoff game. You know it's in their head. And 17 straight.
Now, I have no love for the Astros, nor should I, right? Because of everything that happened. But I've always been a Dusty Baker fan, so I'm kind of torn a little bit. Because I like Dusty a lot.
Well, Dusty got a win. White Sox 4-1 winners over the A's.
Now 15-0 against lefties, Michael.
And the Blue Jays and Rays 0-0 bottom of the fourth. And we are less than an hour away from the Yankees 2020 playoff saga.
Exciting.
Gerrit Cole and Shane Bieber, game one, the Yankees and the Indians. From Cleveland, Progressive Field, to you and me.
And there's going to be some fans in there. I think
they're allowing
some families in.
I was talking
to a fan. Fans in Cleveland for the Bengal-Browns game, that Thursday night extravaganza
They had fans in the stadium yesterday for Washington-Cleveland. And I was talking to someone from Ohio who told me that the deal was they allowed the Bengals. Right now, the deal was they told the Bengals and Browns that they could have fans at two of their games each. I don't even understand what sense that makes.
Well, it really comes down to Baker Mayfield because he lives in that stadium. So whether he wants fans, guests in the house.
Well, I don't know if that was a real commercial. What? Was
truth in marketing.
What? Are you serious? I mean, he's always there. He's covering the seats when it rains.
No.
Right, so you believe that they shrunk his body in the Hulu commercial?
Yes.
Him and Saquon are actually tiny
people. Yes.
There was no video hocus pocus there that they
None.
They went through some sort of regimen.
Michael believes all sports commercials. And why do you think he's so offended by the Chris Paul Alfonso Ribeiro?
Oh, that one bothers me because there has to be some semblance of like rational thought. The guy should be arrested. Maybe even like taken out at the knees.
So less than an hour away, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be breaking down game one tomorrow all afternoon right here, starting at 2:55 on the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And then after the game, which you could hear here, Chris Carlin will break it down.
To a fine powder?
Yeah.
What if he asked you to call in?
I mean, I would. I mean, I'm going to be doing the Yes post-game show. I'd do anything for Chris.
Wow. I mean, now that they have you in the house, Michael, you're basically going to be working 24/7 through the playoffs, aren't you?
I don't mind it, though, because I don't have to drive anywhere.
That's a great point.
All I have to do is talk.
Fun game last night between Kansas City and Baltimore. Maybe not fun if you're a Ravens fan. 34-20. Could have been worse than that. Lamar Jackson now 0-3 against the Chiefs. Yesterday, worst career yardage night of Lamar Jackson's young passing career, 97 yards. In the regular season, Lamar Jackson is 21-1 against everyone not named the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's hear from Lamar after the game.
Lamar, how do you get over as a team the hurdle of the Chiefs, where it seems like they are the one team that...
Kryptonite. Yeah. Second half, we always start cranking up at the wrong time. We got to come in and finish how we start. Like, we always go opposite, I guess, against them for some reason. We just got to tighten up and play better, that's all.
Voice doppelganger, if you give me a second.
Hmm.
The guy who asked that question to Jackson, same guy that asked Tiger if he can compete at this level.
I mean, what if it is the same guy?
Might be.
Interesting.
Yeah, like because I already did it. You mean that right. one? Updated odds to win the Super Bowl this year.
They updated them.
Yeah. Sorry, it's the Pro Football Championship.
So I'm sure the Giants and Jets odds have taken a hit.
You know what? It doesn't go that low, Don.
Or that high.
Starts out with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are at plus 400. The Ravens are plus 650. 10-1 on Seattle. 12-1 Tampa Bay. That's exceedingly... That's still too high to me for Tampa
I would take
Bay.
10-1 on Seattle. I throw it down 100.
So what, the Bucks are where? Fifth or fourth?
Fourth.
Fourth highest odds to win the Super Bowl.
Same odds as the Packers. I'm sorry, guys. I don't think that the Bucks are as good as the Packers.
No, that's
not even close.
You know, when you talk about the Packers, it makes me ask one question. I hope you don't take it the wrong way.
Go ahead.
How's Katie doing?
Wow. I'm sure she's good.
Yeah.
I can't believe you did that. I'm going to shake this guy's confidence.
Who?
Ballard.
Ballard?
No, he ain't getting a Ballard's head. Please.
Come on.
You don't think
Ballard
so.
Has mirrors in his house. That doesn't shake his confidence. Nothing will.
Ballard's not worried about the case, sir. I mean, he may wonder sometimes why would a complete stranger, a man whose show I support so passionately.
He supports it because of you.
No, he loves the show. Loves it. Thinks it's the best sports talk radio show he's ever listened to.
Ballard misunderstood.
Well, because he's not bright.
And then he has to deal with things like that.
We have him. And now you're trying to drive him away.
I'm not a good guy. That's clear.
That is... I'm glad we're somewhere. Anyways, Green Bay 12-1. New Orleans 15-1. Buffalo 16-1. San Francisco 16-1. Pittsburgh 16-1. That's a good bet.
I might throw some money around, Peter.
On these? I mean, these sound good. By the way, how about New England at 20-1?
Hmm.
You're telling me there's not a crazy world where somehow they end up looking like the Patriots and beat Kansas City in some really ugly, awkward championship game? You can't imagine it?
I can imagine. I'm doing it right now.
Picture that.
If you will.
Sicily. 1932. I can picture that. I like Pittsburgh at 16-1 right now. New England at 20-1. I like the Packers at 12-1.
What? Just for giggles.
Go ahead.
What are the Jets and Giants? Or did they not even bother?
Oh, let's see. Oh, no. I'll give them to you. What? Make some predictions first.
I'd say they're probably 300-1.
No. For who?
Both. They both have the same odds, I'm sure.
300? You're going that low?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Jets are dead last.
Okay.
Where I'm looking right here, it has the Jets at plus 50,000.
Oh, so they don't have the odds. That's a plus 50,000. But no odds, not like 300-1 or something.
That's 500-1, no?
I guess.
I think that's 500-1.
But that's still not worth throwing any money at. I'd rather burn the money because you can enjoy just the fire aspect of it, get some warmth.
That's plus, that would be, no, Don, I think it'll be 5,000-1.
We're not happening. There's no
Giants.
World.
Giants plus 35,000. So they get it. The Jets are significantly worse, which they should be. The Jets should be worse.
I don't know if you're interested at all, Peter, but we do have the doppelganger audio if you want.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd like to hear it.
So it's my contention that the person that asked Lamar Jackson about not being able to beat the Chiefs is the same guy that asked Tiger Woods if he's able to compete at that level.
All right, let's hear the Lamar Jackson guy last night.
Lamar, how do you get over as a team the hurdle of the Chiefs, where it seems like they are the one team?
All right.
Kryptonite.
Yeah. Well, I see.
Okay.
Second half.
All right. Now let's hear the guy who's asking Tiger Woods the question.
Do you feel like you're back physically, mentally, and everything that it takes to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
So you're wrong.
Yes, dead wrong.
You're back. You had RJ do the work.
I didn't ask RJ to do the work. But if RJ heard it when he did it, he would not have whispered in my ear, I have it. He would have just said, Don, move on.
Trying to help you out.
So I was excited because I thought I was right when he said, I have it for you if you want. No,
and you were wrong.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Doc Rivers out with the Clippers. A lot of speculation about what's next for Doc. Here's Jay Williams on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on who will be the next Clippers head coach.
Next head coach will be Ty Lue. It makes all the sense. Who's in your backyard? Key, who's in your backyard if you're a Clipper? Who's about to win its NBA title? LeBron James. Who knows LeBron James better than Ty Lue? Nobody.
Makes sense.
Nobody. He helped LeBron James win a championship.
But why would that be the reason you would hire him? What? I mean, like.
Well, let me ask you a question. Out of all the coaches there are right now in the coaching scheme, who has championship pedigree?
Not the best argument I've ever heard.
No, championship pedigree because he
has championship pedigree, Jace. And I love Jay Will, but I don't know if I agree that. Now, yes, you could make the argument that understanding LeBron James is important because LeBron James will be standing in your way for the next couple of years in the West. And I think Ty Lue could be in the conversation. But there are some other names that I think will be there as well.
Mick Van Gundy.
Don, you know how I feel. We're the only ones.
I think we are.
We're the only ones who seem to say it. Because every time the opportunity comes up, he gets passed on. So I've started to think it's now just us, and we know how great Van Gundy is. But for some reason, he doesn't get the consideration he deserves.
Here's Stephen A. Has he even been interviewed?
Not that I remember. I don't remember the last time Jeff Van Gundy was public, that we knew for a fact he was interviewed. Let's hear Stephen A. on SportsCenter talking about where Doc should go next.
Philly. You know, you see a lot of teams still looking for a coach, but definitely Philly. You got a star in Joel Embiid who should have his behind down in the post doing damage, and he should be the second best player definitively on a night in, night out basis, rivaling the Greek Freak. You got a guy in Ben Simmons that Doc Rivers would know how to utilize because he can't shoot. Maybe he'll eventually get some kind of a shot, but he has every single thing else in his arsenal to be a prolific perennial all-star for years to come. It would have been nice if they still had Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick, but guess what, you don't, but you have Tobias Harris and you have a few other pieces that you could do something with the right coaching, the right motivation, a new fresh start, a new voice. The bottom line is, guess what, you can legitimately almost instantly compete. That's what this will come down to as far as I'm concerned. If I was speaking to Doc Rivers, and I haven't spoken to him yet, but I damn well intend to, my thoughts to him would be, go for the Philly job.
I also saw a thing that Stephen A. was upset that Doc lost the job in the first place.
Okay. Well, it sounds like he's upset about something.
I don't really understand what you expect the Clippers to do.
No, you got that's going to happen in sports. I got news for you. If the Lightning didn't win that series against the Stars, I could see John Cooper getting fired. When you're expected to win a championship and you don't, it's not a surprise when the coach gets let go, especially in the NBA, where it seems like it's a transient position anyway. But Peter, he was there for one reason, to do in LA what he did in Boston, and he was given the tools to do it. They were the odds-on favorite, and not even get to the conference final.
Yeah,
don't you think somebody's got to pay the piper for that? I'm sorry. That's why I don't think... Michael thinks I'm crazy, but because he knows the Yankees better than I do. But I think Boone can be in trouble if they got bounced in the Cleveland series. When you are the manager or the head coach of a team that is expected to win, and you go multiple years without winning or even playing in the final, or in the Clippers' case, even making it to the conference final, you don't think the coach should be let go? As a once great man said, how many chances you get?
I think you were that man.
Was I? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it was you. I definitively remember you screaming.
How many chances you get?
Yeah, see?
Let's go with Don!
I told you.
I win!
RJ, do you have the dramatic football music? Any of the really dramatic, impactful... It could even be the 30 for 30 music, or it could be football...
This Thursday night... A game for the ages. The New York Jets, led by Sam Darnold, have a challenge on their hands when Brett Rypien and the Denver Broncos come to MetLife Stadium.
Football!
Yes,
football! They're playing football!
That's right. Brett Rypien.
Why?
The nephew of Mark Rypien.
Okay.
He was the Washington guy in 91.
Is that right?
Yes. It's all going down this Thursday. Rypien played on the Broncos' final drive in their big loss to Tampa.
Nobody's going to win.
But hold on. There's also a chance that Jeff Driscoll could get some snaps as well.
That's Driscoll. Cool, man!
Driscoll, Rypien, Darnold.
What?
Broncos Jets, Thursday night, right here on 98.7, baby.
And I got to tell you, I know a lot of people aren't huge fans of this team, but I think they're tremendous. Having Joe Buck and Troy Aikman call that game.
Oh, yeah, it helps.
It's like having Jennifer Aniston for a weekend and having her mow your lawn. Like, come on. As good, really. I mean, they're one of the top teams in sports. I mean, doing that game, that just doesn't seem right. Can you think
But you
of
know
a,
what? It's great from a fan standpoint. And I know, and like you said, I know that a lot of people who don't like to hear that team. I want to hear what Troy Aikman has to say during the course of a Sam Darnold game. I think that's a reason to tune in.
Listen, we poke fun, but I mean, it's not only are they 2-0-3 football teams, but they both are probably the two most injured teams in football. And in multiple reports that he is going to get fired, Gase, if they lose. So it'll be interesting to have Sam on. I don't know if Andrew's on the phone or whatever. I don't know what the plan is. Will we have Sam after the game on Friday, or would he still be in his usual spot on Monday? But Sam says that they don't think about playing for the coach, but they love Gase. I asked him about it. He said they don't think about it, but if you really love Gase, then you got to really pull out all the stops, man. You lose to Denver, you might lose your coach.
Remember a few weeks ago when I was saying that Gase could be gone and Michael sort of... You semi-laughed me off, but Michael particularly didn't give it any chance. Everyone agrees now based on how this is going. This is a real...
Well, here's the thing, and I disagree with Key. Key said, you know...
By the way, I got to tell you something. This is important. I've been meaning to say it, and I keep forgetting. RJ, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't we run a promo... We're in the promo. Keyshawn says, call me Keish.
I would have to look that up. I don't think it's Key.
I think it's Keish. Like the delightful food.
You think he calls himself that?
I believe.
Well, no, there was a promo that was like, the people would call me Keyshawn. I'd say, no, just call me Key. But you think it's Keish. I've said Key multiple times.
That's why I'm saying it, because you guys both call him Key all the time. And is it Key or is it Keish?
I don't know. We can try to find that out.
Sorry. Keep going now about Key and / Keish.
That, you know, what's the difference? You're going to fire him in December anyway. You have to function as a franchise. Even if you're tanking, you still have to function. So when you fire your head coach, you have to put somebody in there that has experience, because you're talking about 12 more games in which the team has to prepare for games, right? Now, you can give it to Greg Williams. He has been a head coach before on an interim basis in Buffalo, so he does have some experience. But, you know, yeah, it gives your pound of flesh, but it's still a very dicey thing to do. I don't agree with Michael that it makes Chris Johnson look bad. You can't think that way. I don't think Chris Johnson would think that way. If you want to let him go, let him go. But I'm not sure that it would happen this immediate, but you know, if you lose by double digits against a Buffalo team that's playing, a Denver team that's playing a third string quarterback, I guess it's possible. I guess it's on the table.
It has to be on the table. I just can't see how it's not. Also, I've been told we have some added audio here. Okay. Let's hear from Aaron Boone, my dear friend Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees.
You know what? I don't know.
Because we're about a half hour away from you hearing that game right here on 98.7.
I love baseball.
Here's Boone on how important Voit and LeMahieu have been, LeMahieu have been in 2020.
Well, I mean, they've been, you know, the pillars in our lineup, the rocks in our lineup, and Luke from just put together an amazing season. I think both guys are worthy of MVP consideration. Obviously, what DJ's meant at the top of our order now for 2 years, just his amazing consistency and what he brings with his defensive versatility. You know, we're not, you know, getting on a plane and going to the playoffs without the performance of those two guys.
I mean, no doubt about it. And I would guess, Don, if they are to win that game tonight, game one against Cleveland, one of those guys does something special.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's going to take.
They have just been so consistent.
Because Judge has not really come all the way back. Stanton hasn't come all the way back. You know, so, yeah, those are the guys you got to rely on.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.